listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org.
And so today our scripture is from the Gospel of Mark, and it's one of the tellings of Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, and it's in the 11th chapter. So hear these words. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it,' and he will send it back right away." They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and he looked around at everything because it was already late in the evening. He returned to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we said, today's Palm Sunday, and it's when we remember as he came in to Jerusalem, not as was expected. A lot of folks expected a king's entrance, and a king would have been riding a very powerful horse. But instead, Jesus chooses a colt, one that had never been ridden. And if you have any kind of experience with riding horses or colts or donkeys, that means it's an unbroken animal. And that's not always an easy thing to do. But this animal did not even buck or wince as they placed clothes on it and Jesus climbed on board to enter not as a war king, but as a bringer of peace. And as we enter into this Holy Week, we remember these key moments of this week, Maundy, Thursday, where Jesus shared his last meal with his closest friends, even washing their feet, which after all these years still confused them. They were mad about it. Like, why would you do this? And he showed this new side of him. We remember Judas, who betrayed him at that meal. We remember that afterwards, all of these disciples, these close friends that couldn't even stay awake as Jesus prayed and said the words, "Father, please take this cup from my hands. I can't do this. But if it's your will, then let it be done." We remember Peter, who still didn't get it, and as the Roman guards came, he pulled his sword ready for a fight, despite all of what Jesus had taught. Peter, that would then deny even knowing him three times. And then, of course, Good Friday. And we remember that these shouts of Hosanna that we hear in the scripture today turn to shouts of crucify him. The same crowd that was so excited to welcome him into the city suddenly fell into this frenzy of crucify him, crucify him. And of course, Easter Sunday and the empty tomb, and the women who were the only ones who stood by his side until the very end and even past the end. These women that became the first preachers of the good news. And today I thought we'd spend just a few minutes talking about the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made to prove that love is the only way, and that what he taught was the most important thing in the world, something that was worth dying for. The gospel spares us many of the gory details about the crucifixion, mainly because the early readers of these words and hearers of these words would know all too well the gory details. But we are told that Jesus was crucified along with the criminals. And the word criminals used here literally means evil doers, those that have done bad things, evil. And as we are all too aware, that's a word that on any given day could probably easily describe any of us. It's been said that a person is known by the company that he or she keeps. And in life, just as in death, Jesus hung out with sinners. People just like you and me. In Luke chapter 15, we are told that the religious rulers were grumbling and they were upset about this man, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." The audacity of something so horrible. Jesus allowed a prostitute to wash his feet with her tears. He called tax collectors and fishermen and ordinary sinful folks to be his disciples. He touched lepers. And he invited people into his table and dined with those that were considered to be unclean by proper society. And eating with someone in the Middle East in biblical times was a big thing. Because that meant that whoever you were eating with was your friend. And friend was a very intimate and personal thing then as it is now. Jesus ate with thieves and tax collectors and prostitutes and anyone who would have him. And as Jesus lived, so he died. Because his companions on that cross were two criminals. And this is one of the most powerful scenes in the entire Bible. The words, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." This is a reminder of the kind of God that we follow. One who loves unconditionally the unloved. One who chooses to be with the most vulnerable and undesirable among us. One who chooses to walk with each of us in spite of what we say or think or do wrong. This is a God who chooses you, who chooses us, who forgives you and asks you to forgive as well. In his teachings, his disciples asked, how many times should we forgive? 7 times? Jesus says, no, you're not even close. 70 times 7. You just continue forgiving. When he teaches his disciples and us how to pray, he tells us to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or in the version I grew up with, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus modeled for us in life and ministry how to be with one another, how to truly see each other and be with one another. Because even at his lowest moment, Jesus takes time to pray, takes time to forgive, to show mercy, to love his enemies, even those who put him there, those who hurt him the most. One who in the midst of unimaginable pain and suffering, hanging, nailed to a cross, looks at the very ones who put him there, the very ones that caused that moment to happen, and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." How many of us can say that at our highest points? It's a high bar to live up to. In the Gospel of Luke, this episode on the cross shows us perhaps the first real Christian sermon and conversion story in the Bible. Here we have two criminals, two evildoers who were guilty of their crimes, and they know it. And they are hanging there, and Jesus looks around, and they both hear these words. This prayer that Jesus calls out to his Father, this ask for forgiveness of those who had put them there. And after this, one of them continues to deride him, saying, if you're really who you say you are, well, then why don't you save us? And then save yourself. Prove it. The other, though, on the other side, he's changed. He hears these words and it awakens something in him. Something that had been there since birth, but something that he had forgotten about and pushed down so far. And hanging on the cross at the end of his life, he tells the other to shut his mouth. He says, we both hang here. And we are both fully guilty of everything that we've been accused of. We deserve this, but this man here, he has done nothing wrong. He is who he says he is. And you know what? He's here with us. He's with us. And then he turns to Jesus and simply says, remember me. Not a confession of all the bad things that he'd done in his life. Not begging for his life. Not asking the same things to save him because he's had this last minute conversion. No, he just says, I understand who you are now. Everything that you've said, that I've heard you say, that I've heard that you've preached is true. So just remember me. That's all I ask. And Jesus looks at him and says, truly, I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise. How beautiful. How remarkable and how powerful to remember those words and those actions for us today. Father, forgive us. We don't know what we're doing. How do we move forward? How do we live in to this promise and this life that Jesus has for us? Let's pray. Holy God, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks for this day, for all of those here in this room, in this church, in this community, in this world, all of your children. Lord, we're thankful for what you have modeled for us. These ideas of unconditional love, of true forgiveness, of being with one another. As we hear these stories and journey through this week together as a community of faith, help us to listen to you, to open our hearts. May your Spirit fill each of us so that we can fully experience your love and your presence with us this week. As we go through the horribleness, the sadness, the grief, and then the beauty and the promise of resurrection, that promise that is made for all of us. Lord, we ask you to please be with those here among us and in our circles and in our families and in our faith that need that special healing presence, that gentle whisper in the ear that Jesus offered so many, that they feel that they experience that, and help us to leave here from this place with that light that shines so brightly to all that we see, that they too can experience your love. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.